wrong with you? You know the rule. Stand up in the bathroom, sit down at the truck stop in the hotel. It's not funny.
Hey, you ordered a Frito chili pie.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, don't look at me.
What's funny about it? What do you think's funny about
it? It's not funny.
Morning, fellas.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he went to work at his gym.
I don't think he can stay in there.
Hey, I'm getting hungry. Y'all got any Frito pie?
Carol, fly me at airport. I can't do this. Four more months.
All right, here's the deal. I at least want a shot at not going last this time, so we're going to draw numbers out of a hat. Whatever number you draw, that's what position you go up on the show. Is that fair?
Fair.
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 Yeah, that's fair.
Ronnie, go first.
Come on last.
Two.
Yeah.
Number one, leading off.
7 3/4.
7 3/4. You tore the tag out of the hat, idiot. Draw a number.
Drum roll. Come on.
That was last. Oh, God.
Oh,
that was
in Denver. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about relationships and what I see as the basic difference between men and women. And I don't think I'll be making any of this mess up. I think the biggest difference between men and women is this. Men are basic, just basic. There's not a whole lot of frills. That's why, ladies, when you ask a fella a question, a lot of times the answer you get is, oh. Basic. Women are details. Details, details, details. Yeah. If you don't got the details, do not talk to a woman. I'll give you a great example. My friend Joey and I were working out at the gym the other day. Joey says to me, hey, man, I'm getting a divorce. And I said, oh, that sucks. Can you spot me? That was our whole conversation. I understood it. He understood it. So I go home and I tell my wife, I go, hey, Joey's getting a divorce. Oh, my God, what happened? Oh. She said, what do you mean? Was he cheating on her? Was she cheating on him? I said, again, baby, I don't know. I'm not holding anything back here. You got a better chance of getting the answer out of the dog. And that's when it hit me. That's why dogs don't talk. They've learned. She said, Bill, how can somebody tell you they're getting a divorce and you don't ask any questions? And I said, baby, because he didn't ask me a question. All right? What he said was a statement. He said, I'm getting a divorce, which said to me, I have the situation in hand and require no further input on your part. Now, had Joey said, what do you think about me getting a divorce? Then I would have said, well, you're going to be dating again. You need to work on your abs. Ladies, Lord, that's the only reason I got married. My gym membership ran out. You see, ladies, men have three basic needs in life. That's it. Three. Eating, sleeping, sex. That's it. That's our whole day. And I can do all three of those in my truck. By myself. In traffic. See, I've been married a while, so I'm having to relearn all this stuff I thought I knew. You know, like her little signs and, you know, what kind of mood she's in. Because I thought I knew them, but apparently I don't. Like one night we was lying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep. We turned off the lights. My wife puts her hand on my shoulder, rolls over and gives me a kiss and says, good night. And I said, well, good night. I went to sleep. Next morning, she goes, what happened to you last night? Well, what do you mean, what happened to me last night? She said, well, I was in the mood. I said, well, why didn't you say something? She said, I put my hand on your shoulder. I said, baby, let me think if I can explain this to you. You know those bars called topless bars? She said, yeah. And I said, they don't sell shoulder dances. I ain't never met a guy in my life that get his shoulder touched and he goes, hey, yeah, yeah. So a couple weeks later, we're lying in bed. She kind of pushes on my shoulder. I said, all right. This rodeo's fixing to kick off. So I start putting my moves on. She goes, no, not tonight. I'm not in the mood. Goes, you touched my shoulder. She said, no, I pushed your shoulder. Touch means go. Push means no. Is there a manual to this machine? You see, marital sex is kind of like ordering a Civil War chess set through the mail. You get one piece every 4 to 6 weeks. You don't know what kind of shape that piece is going to be in when you get it. But you still got to pay the handling charge. But see, now that our kids are kind of grown up, we're having to spend a little more time together. And when you're dating, you spend all the time in the world together because chances are you're going to end up having sex. After you've been married a long time, chances are you're just going to be spending time together. So now she wants us to start doing things together. I said, all right, we'll do things together. First thing out of her mouth, let's go on a whale watching trip. I said, what? She goes, I want to get in a boat and go see the whales. Let's go see the whales. And I said, no. That's a 60-foot animal. We're in a 6-foot rubber boat. We're a bath toy. She said, well, I want to go see him. I said, we're not going to go see him. She goes, we're going to go see him. And I said, well, all right. So the day of the trip, I'm whining and moaning because I don't want to go. And especially because we're going with these other couple friends of ours who are from California. And they're nice people, don't get me wrong. But we just don't see eye to eye. So we get down on the dock and this dude is right in my face like, Bill, dude, check this out, all right? Check this out. Do you know what would, like, totally make my day? And I said, a GED? He said, no, no, dude, I don't want a GED. Dude, check this out. This would, like, totally make my day, all right? So we're out in this little boat, all right? Check this out. And we're on the waves. I'm going, whoa, waves, whoa, waves, whoa. And then, like, it would be so righteous if, like, this whale just, like, went right by the boat. That would make my day. So we're out in this little boat in the middle of the ocean, and Surf Boy gets his wish. Out of nowhere, this humongous whale comes out of the water right by the boat and goes, and sprays this nasty liquid all over the boat. And the Californians are freaking like, oh my God, he sprayed us. That is so cool. He sprayed us. He sprayed us. I'm like, he blew his nose on us. We just paid $200 a piece to have a whale hook a loogie on it. And then the whale went, and they're like, what'd he say? What'd he say? What'd he say? I'm like, he said, that's what he said. Which means I just blew snot on you. I'm going to go tell my friend. See, we just need to leave the animals alone. God, just let them live their lives. We are so bent on figuring everything out about animals. They're just animals. We don't have to figure, like, all right, great example. In California, in the desert, they found bones of this prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I'm figuring he's got to look like... And they're trying to figure out if this upper jaw was used during sex or for eating. And I'm thinking, you know what? You can rule out sex. Because if you look like this, sex ain't happening, all right? I mean, what if it's just a goofy-looking fish? You know, like a dork fish. You know? He'd be out in that desert like, oh, this ain't ocean. Woo, I better find me some water. Can you imagine if you were fishing and you caught a dork fish? Because you know your friends would be like, hey, man. What kind of fish is that? He'd be like, oh, nothing. Because you know that fish is sticking his head out of that bucket. I'm a dork fish. He caught me on a corn dog. I swear to God, I was swimming underneath the ocean, and I said, what's a corn dog doing underneath the ocean? But boy, you know me. I love them damn corn dogs. Woo! So she's wanting to do some stuff together. So I said, all right, I got an idea for something we can do together. Let's go deer hunting. We did the whale watching thing. Let's go deer hunting. It's fair is fair. Well, I knew this was going to be a mistake. When we were driving out to where we were going to hunt, and we keep passing these deer crossing signs, and my wife, who's the smartest person I know, says to me, why do they put those signs up? Deer can't read. No, but they do recognize pictures of themselves. Let me set the scene for you. I got on camouflage pants. I got on a camouflage jacket, camouflage ball cap. I got camouflage paint on my face. I've got a .30-06 with a laser scope. She is in a yellow jogging suit, white tennis shoes, and she brought her purse. I'm here to kill a deer. She's going to take it shopping. So we get in the stand. Any of you hunters out there, you know the time of day I'm talking about, man. Oh, yeah. It is the perfect time of day. It's dark. It's early morning. It's cold. You're making steam with your breath. Off in the distance, you hear a turkey gobble as he wakes up for the day. A squirrel scampers through the dead leaves. It is the perfect time of day. It's quiet. Kinda. Because in the darkness of our deer stand, I'm hearing things like this. Bill. What are we doing? We're waiting for the deer to show up, okay, honey? You gotta be really quiet. What time do they show up? I don't know. They didn't return the phone call to set up the meeting. Now please be quiet. Bill. I've got to pee. There's a coffee can. Oh, wake up. The sun has come up, and in the clearing stands a buck, 10 points, good 250. And I'm like, oh, thank you, God. You are on the wall. And this is what I hear. Oh, isn't he cute? He looks like Bambi's dad. Remember we saw that movie with the kids? Yes, I remember the movie. It was a cartoon. Now, please shut up. Well, you're not going to shoot him, are you? What do you think I brought this gun for? Protection? Like that deer might run up this tree and rob us? She freaks. She goes, run, deer, run, run, run. Is the only time I've ever pushed a woman out of a tree. I do joke about her, y'all, but you know, I love her to death. She gave me two beautiful kids, and I look forward to getting old with her. And I tell you a great little story happened not too long ago. My son, who plays piano now, he's getting really good at it. And we were sitting in the den the other day, my wife and I was watching TV, and he comes in and he goes, hey, Dad, I'm going to play you a song on the piano. I said, hey, great. So I go into where the piano is, and he goes, I'm going to play you a song from Harry Potter. And I said, oh, cool, the movie? He goes, nope, the book.
Here's your sign.
Oh, we've had some good ones this year. I was talking about hunting. Last October, I went hunting down at the ranch. And I had, again, my camouflage pants, camouflage jacket, camouflage ball cap. We did the morning hunt, didn't get anything. Well, I had to go into the Walmart at lunch to get some supplies. And I walk in the front door of the Walmart, and the greeter goes, you been hunting? I said, nope, I'm on my way to a tree-hugging party.
Here's your sign.
I'll tell you one my wife did. I booked on this corporate job, and it was in Arkansas, and it was a morning show, so we had to fly in the night before on this little puddle jumper airplane in this remote airstrip at night. I was not thrilled. When we landed on the runway at night, we hit a deer with our airplane. You cannot make this up. And it killed the deer, it wrecked the engine, we had to evacuate the plane. Well, they put us in this little minivan, and they're busting us back to this terminal, and I'm laughing at this point, because this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, how do you hit a deer with an airplane? So I called my wife on the cell phone. I said, "Baby, you're not going to believe this. We just hit a deer with our airplane." And there was a silence on the other end of the line, followed by, "Oh my God, were you on the ground?" I said, "Nope, Santa was making one last run. Here's your sign." And I had one almost got me thrown in jail. I took my wife to Europe this year. And we'd been over there for a couple of weeks. We bought a couple of paintings about that big, you know, about 11 by 15. And they were too small to check, and we didn't want to get them damaged, so we just carried them on the airplane. Well, our plane lands from Frankfurt, Germany, into Los Angeles for customs. We walk off the plane into customs. We're holding the paintings in our hand, and the customs agent goes, "Did y'all buy them paintings outside of the country?" No, see, we carry this one all the time with us. And my wife painted this one while we was waiting in line. Here's your sign. God bless you, Denver. Thank you very much. Keep it going for my buddy Ron Wall.
Easy, Seabiscuit. The Chinese have a space program now. It's not like the U.S. space program, because in the Chinese space program, Tang is one of the astronauts. I lived in Mexico for a couple years, and I was in a horrific car crash in Mexico. Some of you know this. And I had a metal plate put in my head by a Mexican doctor. No kidding. And the weird thing was, right before he performed the surgery, he said, "Be very careful. This plate is hot." Did you ever take a crap so big your pants fit better? Has that ever happened to anybody in here? Anybody? I'm hoping that happens to me later tonight, because these babies don't fit anymore. I'm hoping I'm one big turd away from backing into an old wardrobe. I decided last week that there are too many support groups in this country. You need to pick your own self up and go, you know? I saw this commercial last week, and it was for a bladder control awareness group. I'm like, let me explain something to you. If you have a bladder control problem, you're probably aware of it. Or you're in some weird-ass denial I've never even heard of, you know? "Bob, I got a moisture problem in this area, and I don't know if it's condensation due to high humidity or if I'm pissing myself, Bob." Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My brother's a doctor and my sister's an attorney, and I hate Thanksgiving. Last year, we're sitting around the dining room table, and my brother tells a story about all the neat lives he'd saved. My sister tells a story about winning a lawsuit for an orphanage and helping the children. My mom goes, "Well, Ron, is there anything new with your career?" And I go, "Yeah. I got a new bit about sticking my pecker in a toaster." Maybe I should have told my story first. Well, that's enough comedy. I'd like to talk for just a little bit about firework safety. Something I like to do every time I speak in public. I know, seriously, years ago, my friend Timmy Smithers and I went to a 4th of July celebration. And at one point in the festivities, Timmy leaned back too far with the lit punk and ignited the main fireworks display for the evening, inevitably causing his death. And not a night goes by that I don't wake up feeling horrible, because I know in my heart there was more I could have done to save his life. But it was so pretty. Timmy, no! Would you look at that? That's the beginning of the Chinese space program. My childhood was fraught with tragedy, actually. I wasn't a bright child. I had a very weak vocabulary. In fact, if I'd have known the difference between antidote and anecdote, my friend Bobby Schneider would still be alive today. He got bit by a copperhead. I'm reading him funny stories out of Reader's Digest. His head's starting to swell. I'm like, "It ain't working." He goes, "Read faster!" Things are going great, though. For me, not for my grandpa. He can't afford Viagra. So I buy him Ginkgo biloba, and now he can remember what it's like to have a hard-on. Things are going great, though. I just got married a couple months ago, and I'm very excited. I'm as happy as I've ever been in my life. The first time we made love, it was a little awkward because, well, you've heard of these screamers, right? Well, apparently, she had never been with one, right? Because I'm... I'm going at it. I'm like, "Ah! Like, what's up with that?" "I'm a screamer, baby." "Daddy makes a little racket in the sack." I'm from Texas. I'm a cowboy, a real cowboy. I was a bronc rider for 6 years of my life. And it's affected me. Now when I have sex, my arm goes like this. Seems to be some dispute between the wife and I whether or not I'm staying on that full 8 seconds. So we got the timer and buzzer and set it up right there in the bedroom. And I taught her the meaning of the phrase "most of the time." Would have been "all the time," but she won't let me tie that rope around her waist anymore. She hates it when I spur her out of the chutes. Hey, you laugh. It's not easy to keep an erection with a clown in a barrel in the corner of the room. Is it, sir? I'm probably not a typical Texan in the end that I don't hunt. I fish, but I don't hunt. And not because I think it might somehow be more holy to eat meat that's been bludgeoned to death by somebody else. That's not it. It's really early in the morning. It's really cold outside. I don't want to go. My cousin Ray, on the other hand, thinks killing a deer with a deer rifle is magic in the forest. And I'd like to do for you now my impression of my cousin Ray after the big kill. Well, it was
4 in the morning. 22 degrees outside. Of course, you weren't there. Pussy. I'm in a camouflage deer blind with grease paint on my face. I've got deer urine on my boots. I'm not sure why. I made that part up. I got a .30-06 with a 12-power scope and a bullet that'll travel 2,200 feet per second. When that deer looked up to lick the salt sucker I'd hung from the danged old tree, caught him right above the eye. And yeah, well, I hit one with a van. Going 55 miles an hour with the headlights on and the horn blowing. Woo, that's an elusive little creature. If you ever miss one, it's because the bullet's moving too fast. Slow that bullet down to 55 miles an hour, put some headlights and a little horn on it. The deer will actually jump in front of the bullet. It's kind of weird. When we got married in Nassau, and we were walking down the street, and we just got married. It's a beautiful day. We've been married for 45 minutes, so things are going great, right? And this guy comes up to me and my wife, and he goes, "Hey, man, I saw you on that blue collar deal." And I said, "Well, thank you very much," which is a stupid thing for me to say because he didn't say he liked it. He just said he saw it, right? But I don't always know what to say, so I said, "Thank you very much. I hope you have a nice day." And I turn around and goes, "I was talking to you." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Do you like Garth Brooks?" I'm like, "Yeah, I like Garth Brooks. Fine, I don't, but I said I did because I just want to get on with my day." And he goes, "Garth Brooks is the only entertainer in America worth paying money to see." And I was like, "Oh, now I'm trying not to be a jerk because my manager told me I couldn't be a jerk anymore, no matter what, right?" So. So I said, "Well, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way because he's a great entertainer and he's got throngs of fans and sold a billion records. Anyway, have a nice day." He goes, "I camped out one time for 5 days to get Garth Brooks tickets." I'm like, "Really? I wouldn't camp out for 5 days if I was camping." I told that story 3 weeks ago in Nashville. Nothing. Like I just told a big Jesus joke in the middle of Bethlehem. Is what it was. This guy actually accosted me after the show. He goes, "You don't understand Garth Brooks." I'm like, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "No, you don't. He's country and he's rock and roll." I know. "He's like Led Zeppelin with a big-ass belt buckle. He's like Aerosmith with a can of skull. He's Donnie and he's Marie." Take him camping with you. I married a rich woman if you ever have a choice. Go ahead. Actually, that's a lie. She's not rich at all. Her parents are loaded. And they hate my guts. And I'm waiting for them to die. And you'll know if they die too, because you'll never see my fat ass again. I hear a lot of this. I hear a lot of, "Well, Ron, you're a pretty good sized old boy." "Well, I guess your wife's a good cook." Bullshit. Oh, it got a little better when she figured out that smoke alarm's not a timer.
I had to tell her, honey, the food is done before that particular buzzer goes off. It was real bad when we first got married. The first meal she cooked in our new house, I couldn't eat it. I couldn't even tell you what it was. I gave it to my dog, Sluggo. He started licking his butt. She comes in and goes, "What's he doing?" I'm like, "Looks like he's trying to get the taste out of his mouth." Everything's an emergency to my wife because she never had to deal with her own problems. Spoiled, catered to her whole life. There's no cure for that. That ain't going to get better later, I fear. I was in Atlanta one time, and she calls me one night and missed me in the hotel room. They catch me in the lobby and tell me I have an emergency phone call from home. I knock over 10 people in the lobby of a very nice hotel thinking maybe my in-laws. I call her. She tells me my dog, Sluggo, just took a dump on the new carpet. Shoot him. She goes, "That's just like you, Ron. I have a genuine problem, and you're being sarcastic." All right, honey, I'm sorry. Put the dog on the phone. I'll talk to him. I'm in Georgia. I can't pick up the turd. Put a paper towel over it. I'll be home in a week, honey. I get home, it looks like a little campground in the living room. Like they're waiting to buy tickets to a miniature Garth Brooks concert. Let him outside. He'll crap out there. I've seen him do it. When I first met my wife, she had this 15-year-old Scottish Terrier, and it was kind of wobbly. And the first time I saw the dog, I was like, "Oh, this dog's about to die." And I don't want to go through the death of this dog with this woman. I just met her. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, clunk. Dead. And she's inconsolable, in bed crying. I've seen people lose it over the death of a pet. But this dog lived for 15 years. If you want to beat that by very much, you got to get a tortoise or a tree. And she's just losing it. And I don't know what to do. And I call Foxworthy, and I tell Foxworthy, I said, "Buddy, I'm lost here." He goes, "Get her another dog," or however he talks. So I tell her, I said, "Honey, I'll get you another dog." And she just loses it. "I don't want another dog. I never want another dog. I want my Totty back." And I'm like, "Jeez." So I listened to her for like a week, and I'm like, "You know what? I'm going to get her another dog." So I find this place that raises Scotties where we live, and not too far, and I get her in the car, and I tell her where we're going. And at first, she's against it. "I don't want a dog. I never want another dog. I want my Totty." But we get down there, right? She sees them all hopping in the window. "Pick me, pick me." You know. And I buy her this little black Scottish Terrier puppy, and I give it to her. And, folks, it heals her heart. It heals her heart. Well, 2 weeks ago, her father passed away, and I'm like, "I think I see a way out of this." So I get her in the car, and she doesn't know we're going to the old folks' home, right? And when I tell her, at first, she's against it. "I don't want a new daddy. I don't want a new daddy." But we get down there. She sees them all hopping in the window. "Pick me. Pick me." She wanted a black one. I'm like, "Keep it simple." That's what I do. Nothing wrong with it. Think it through, though, you know. He acts weird when I'm in the room, but I think it's because he smells my daddy on me.
I'm a dog lover. Actually, I love my dog. I don't care about your dog at all. I really don't. I don't know if that's enough to make me a dog lover or not. We have three dogs. We have two Scotties, and then my dog's a bulldog, Sluggo, English bulldog. You know what I do to him when he's asleep? I lift up those big old huge bulldog jowls, and I hide M&Ms and crap in there. He wakes up in the morning, he's like, "Gonna be a good day, Tater." He calls me Tater. He's a great dog. I studied him out last year for Pig of the Litter, and I put him with the female dog for a couple of weeks, because every once in a while you just feel like getting your dog laid. You know he hadn't been laid. You've been in the backyard for 2 years shaking. Do you know somebody, Taters, or somebody you could call? Could you throw a poodle over the fence, buddy? I'm turning blue back here. Then to make sure it took, I took him down to the veterinarian's office and had artificial insemination done twice. Now, for those of you that don't know, that's where they obtained the semen from Sluggo and put it in the female dog. And now it's pretty easy to get old Sluggo to go to the vet. You say something around my house that sounds like vet, Sluggo's humping air. I went down there, the veterinarian had the audacity to say to me, "Mr. White, if you'll just come on back here, we'll show you how to do this, and next time you don't have to bring in the dog, you can just bring in the semen." I was like, "That's okay." He follows me around too much as it is. Hey, 2 months ago, he ran away, and he was gone for 10 hours all day. And when he got home, just to piss him off, took him for a walk. You guys were great. I hope you enjoyed it. This is going to be a fun night. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jeff Foxworthy. Thank you very much. Man, it is so cool to be back together with these guys doing this, you know? I swear. Because this is a group where I know I fit in, you know? Because the way the world is now, you can be part of a group and not even know you're a part of a group until you read about it or see it on TV. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. My wife and I, we love watching, like, Dateline 2020, those shows. But you know how every week they will feature a disease? And I swear to you, every week, no matter what the disease is, my wife has it. There'd be three people on the planet that have this disease. My wife is one of them. She just watches it going, "I've got it. I have every one of those symptoms." I'm like, "You do not have testicular cancer." Don't even have testiculars. But they made us such a bunch of paranoid nuts, you know, because when I was growing up, there were two medicines in the world. You had aspirin and camphophonique. That's all there was. Now there's so many medicines. They got this prescription stuff that they advertise on TV, and I swear, half the time, the side effects are 50 times worse than what the medicine cures.
Yeah. Like, try new Floraflor. For itchy, watery eyes, it's Floraflor. Side effects may include nausea, vomiting, water weight gain, lower back pain, receding hairline, eczema, seborrheic psoriasis, itching, chafing clothing, liver spots, blood clots, ringworm, excessive body odor, uneven tire wear, pyorrhea, gonorrhea, diarrhea, halitosis, scoliosis, loss of bladder control, hammer toe, the shanks, low sperm count, warped floors, cluttered drawers, hunchback, heart attack, low resale value on your home. Feline leukemia, athlete's foot, head lice, club foot, MS, MD, BD, fleas, anxiety, sleeplessness, drowsiness, poor gas mileage, tooth decay, parvo, warts, unibrow, lazy eye, fruit flies, chest pains, clogged drains, hemorrhoids, dry heaving, and sexual dysfunction.
I'm watching it going, you know what? I'll just have itchy, watery eyes. And some of the side effects, have you seen the commercial for Cialis, the Viagra knockoff? In the commercial, they will tell you, if this pill does what it should and you have this condition for longer than 4 continuous hours, you should go to the hospital. You know what? I might go to the hospital, but I'm wearing that little gown they give you backwards. And walk in the halls, baby. How you doing? Who's got a flag? Hey, you want to hang that coat up? The worst side effect I've seen, there's this diet pill, and one of the side effects they list is anal seepage. You know, I don't care how much weight you lose. If this side effect kicks in, you ain't looking good in them jeans. Oh, man, check out the girl over there. Oh, man! Anal seepage. It's not even fun to say. Much less write on an insurance report. And not medical insurance, homeowners, to explain why your sofa's sitting at the end of the driveway. There are some goofy medical things out there. They had a guy on Ripley's Believe It or Not about a year ago that in a tragic accident got his happy place chopped off. And his doctor, in a fit of brilliance, decided they were going to cut the man's finger off and use it to create a new happy place. And I'm sitting there watching this thinking, I want to see this guy put his contact lenses in. And this is not the man you ask directions from. Well, take a ride out of the parking lot, then you're going to have to make a U-turn. That's okay, we'll find it by ourselves. Thanks. Can you imagine the pre-surgery consultation? The doctor going, well, I think what we're going to attempt to do is to remove one of your fingers and use it to create a new happy place for you. One of my fingers. It ain't going to be my pinky, is it, Doc? Because, listen, I don't use my left arm all that much. Y'all can go ahead and take it right there at the shoulders. You know, probably my favorite channel on TV is the outdoor channel. Because I've always loved the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and stuff. I'm addicted to the outdoor channel just because it's amazing the footage they get of these animals. You'll see things like, all right, we're down here deer hunting at the Perlitz Ranch in South Texas, and there's a giant 14-point buck 8 yards away from us. You know, and that's fascinating to watch, but that is not the kind of hunting I grew up with. Because if they had filmed us, it would have been more like, all right, we're out here hunting on somebody's property. And right now we can see this deer or either like a real little cow. So I'm going to see if I can ease my window down real quiet. Like. Get the gun and see if I can't get it out.
Wait a minute. Danny, hold my beer. All right, I'm having a hard time getting steady on him. Danny, you and Charlene, knock it off back there, man. All right, there he is. I got him. Oh, man. That wasn't a deer. That was a propane tank. Oh, and that lady is mad. That's Mama. That's our propane tank. Now, of course, my wife's favorite TV show is The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. My wife loves that show. A lot of women like that one. The guys, you know what I'm talking about? If you haven't seen it, it's a show where women will dump their boyfriend off for the weekend with five gay guys, and then they take him and they buy him new clothes and they get his hair cut and they clean up his apartment. And I told my wife, I said, this only works one way. Men would not be allowed to dump our girlfriends off for the weekend with five hookers and say, just slut her up just a little bit. You know? But I told my wife, I said, what I would like to see them do is flip-flop that show and put it on the Outdoor Channel and let, like, five rednecks take the gay guy deer hunting for the weekend. You know? Hey, friends, we're down here at the hunting camp with our new buddy Eric, and last night Eric was kind enough to make dinner for us. Now, what was that you made, Eric? A lavash and goat cheese salad. Well, to be honest with you, we couldn't eat it, but we opened up a can of Hormel chili, dumped that on top of it, and it's pretty darn tasty. You put that Hormel on top of your head, your tongue will beat your brains out trying to get to that stuff. Well, after dinner, we went out by the fire pit where Buddy Wayne pulled out his guitar and played some country songs, and then Eric jumped up on the picnic table and sang It's Raining Men and a medley of Cher hits. Then we came back in the cabin where Eric slept on the couch, and the five of us locked ourselves in the bunk room and pushed the chest of drawers up against the door. And I know somebody's going to hear this and go, oh, Foxworthy's homophobic. Trust me, I am not homophobic. And I had a friend point out a real interesting thing to me. He said, Jeff, you ever thought about it? There's a lot of similarities between gay guys and married guys. I said, you think so? He said, well, think about it. He said, if you're a man and you're sleeping in a bed that has a dust ruffle on it and seven pillows, you're either gay or married. If you're a man and you've ever been antique shopping during a big football game, you're either gay or married. If you're a man and you cannot remember the last time you had sex with a woman, you're either gay or married. And getting back to my original premise about knowing that you're part of a group. I was reading this thing the other day, and it was talking about people being part of the Oreo generation. And what it was saying was people that waited until their mid-30s to have kids, like my wife and I. See, because my parents got married when they were like 20. I was born 9 months to the day after my parents were married. 9 months to the day. That must have been a ceremony. I do. Could you turn around just 1 minute there, Reverend? But it was saying people that waited until their mid-30s, it said you're kind of an Oreo because you're raising your children and you're also raising your parents who in their elderly age are kind of reverting back to childhood. And I told my wife, I said, you know what this means? It means we've got two that are out of diapers and two that are going into them. And as bad as it was with the little ones, I can't imagine it's going to be any more fun with the big ones. I just don't want to be sitting there watching football with my father-in-law going, Ed, don't you lie to me, Ed. But there are similarities between the kids and the seniors. I mean, they both have their own special menu at restaurants. You've got to worry about both of them with drugs, because it's not just the teenagers. Seniors get a hold of some good stuff. The last time we were at my in-laws, I made the comment that my sinuses were kind of stopped up, and my mother-in-law said, do you want to stop the sniffles or not feel your head? opens up her purse and pulls out this little baggie. Looks like it's full of Skittles. And grabs this tiny green pill and she said, "Say hello to my little friend." I took that pill. I woke up 2 days later laying in the backyard talking to Elvis. She's at the door going, "Get up, you baby. I take four of those and go to the grocery store." You know, and the kids don't listen to you, and the seniors can't hear you. My mother-in-law has a hearing aid that she only wears about half the time, and you can always tell when she's not wearing it because she talks louder than any human being on the planet. 4 or 5 months ago, we're in line at the movie theater one night, and they're with us, and she says to me, "Don't look now, but the man behind us is cross-eyed as a bat." And one, you're embarrassed to death. And two, when somebody says something like that, you gotta look. I turn around and this guy is glaring at me. Well, he may not have been glaring at me, but he was glaring at somebody. This guy was mad. You know, and the kids wear their pants falling off their butts, and the seniors wear them up to their armpits. My father-in-law got his chest hair caught in his zipper. And I look at all this, and what makes me scared is I know I'm next in line. And let me tell you, I can tell I'm getting older. A lot of ways I can tell. One, about a year ago, somebody broke into my truck, and I keep a case in there with like 24 CDs in it. They stole 3 of them. Well, thank God the Ann Murray's still here. Where's the best of bread? Where's the best of bread? 2, I have finally broke down and got a recliner. I used to always make fun of my dad and his recliner. I have a recliner now, and I love it. I used to travel the world at a moment's notice. I get in that recliner, I'm not getting out of that thing. I just wait on people to walk through the house. "Hey, do me a favor and make me a sandwich. I think I smell smoke. Is the house on fire? Hey, if you see flames, there's an extinguisher under the sink in the kitchen there." But the worst one, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and a few of her friends were making jokes and giggling about this product called Astroglide. It is this lubricant that they sell in the drugstore right next to the condominiums, but it's supposed to be really good stuff. I mean, apparently you're able to put it on a Cadillac and get it in a doghouse. My first thought was, I bet I can put that on the poles the bird feeders are on and keep the squirrels off of them. The squirrels are driving me crazy. If you come by my house at 5:00 in the morning, you will see me on the back porch in my underwear with night vision goggles holding a BB gun waiting on the squirrels. Just embarrasses my kids to death. Which is the way I believe life is supposed to work. The parents are supposed to embarrass the kids, and the kids are supposed to embarrass the parents. I embarrassed my kids so bad in the last school year. I have 2 daughters. I live next door to my brother who has 3 daughters, so almost every day I drive them to school. And last year, while I was driving them to school, we ran out of gas in the carpool lane. Because my wife does not realize it's actually legal for women to purchase gasoline. So, but we run out of gas, and people are honking the horn and having to back up and go around us, and the kids are just mortified. So the next morning when I took them, I made sure that the tank was just as full as it could possibly be. And I pull up to the front of the school, and they have like these assistant teachers that help open the doors. And I'm not even trying to be funny, but as we pull up to the front, I roll down the passenger window and yell out, "I've got gas this morning!" And the kids are like, "Oh, God, just go home. Just go home." But see, then they turn around and embarrass me because they're reaching this age where I think they have a natural curiosity that's starting to develop. And bless their hearts, you know, they have no brothers or boy cousins to check out anything on. But I can tell that they're at this age because, y'all, when I get in the shower, there is nobody else in that bathroom. Now, when I get out of the shower, there are five little girls just loitering. So finally, I confronted them. I said, why are all of you in this bathroom? And my youngest one, who's really funny, she said, we're trying to see a hoo-hoo. I said, well, I'm going to tell you all you need to know about hoo-hoos. Hoo-hoos are extremely poisonous. And without missing a beat, she said, they are not, or the dog would be dead.
I hate a smart kid, I swear.
But the cool thing that's happened to me from living with all these women is through the years, I've learned a ton of things about women. And one of the things that I've recently realized is that men and women both appreciate smells. But we do not appreciate the same kinds of smells. Women apparently appreciate pleasant smells. Like flowers. You give a woman a bouquet of flowers, they're like, oh, that smells like heaven. You give a man a bouquet of flowers, we're like, smells like $50. But women love flowers and perfume and potpourri and those scented candles. You know, you just never see men in a Wicks and Sticks. Hey, Jack! Bayberry. But women spend billions of dollars on things that smell good, trying to cover up things that smell bad. And men spend billions of dollars on things that just smell bad. You give me and my buddies a bottle of Doe in Heat urine, we can entertain ourselves for the weekend. So.
Your turn.
I used to have a little spray bottle for mine, but my wife took it away from me because at last year's family Christmas party, somebody sprayed some on her brother's pants leg, and then our dog fell in love with him. And my wife said it was mean, but everybody that's seen the video just says it's funny. So I'm going with funny. But men have an appreciation for unpleasant smells. Like, you ever seen a guy cleaning out a closet, and he'll find a gym bag that he's forgotten about for 5 or 6 months, you know, with sweaty workout clothes in it, and he'll open it up and like, oh, man! Oh, that is the stinkiest thing I've ever smelled in my life! Charlie, come here and smell this! Charlie, having heard all of that, will get off the couch, walk across the room, and not only smell it, I'm talking about, oh, man, that knocked a buzzard off a gut wagon. Ralph, come here and smell that. And my wife watches this, and she said, that is just barbaric. And I said, no, it's not. You just don't understand what's taking place. I said, man number 2 and 3, out of the goodness of their heart, are giving man number 1 a courtesy sniff. And from now on, man number 1 owes man number 2 and 3 a courtesy sniff in return. And man number 2 and 3 are banking on somewhere down the road, they'll come up with something stinkier than what man number 1 has right now. You ever seen a car sitting at a red light, and there's like 5 guys in it, and all of a sudden, all 4 windows go down, and there's 4 guys hanging out of the car just cussing like crazy, and there's 1 guy sitting in the middle in the back just laughing. You know why he's laughing? Can make make him happier was had he been driving and had control of the window lock.
You guys have been awesome. Thank you for listening. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank y'all. Reached the portion of the show where we're going to make you feel better about your own family. Please welcome Larry the Cable Guy.
Had to get my underwear out of my crack. Well, good Lord, good to see. I'm happier than Rosie O'Donnell at a buffet of Little Debbie oatmeal creams. I tell you what, boy. Get her done. That's right. I'm going to tell you right off, I'm walking a little limpy tonight. I had a vasectomy done at Sears last week, so now every time I get excited, the garage door goes up, so
that ain't good.
Almost broke it off the hinges watching Britney Spears last week. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Good Lord. Did you know Britney Spears hurt her leg and had to cancel some dates, but they said with the proper rehabilitation, she should be back on her knees in no time. So that's... All right. That's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny right there. Right? I'm going to tell you this story. I was driving down the road the other day, and I get pulled over, and the policeman says, "You been drinking?" I'm like, "No, why? Is there a fat girl in my back seat?" Hey, good Lord. By God, there's two of them. I guess I was there. Good Lord. Don't you hate it when you get so daggone drunk, you look in your pocket the next day and there's some girl's number in there with a name and you don't know nothing about it? So you call her up and you get this, "Hello? Yeah, Debbie there? This is Debbie." I ain't drinking no more. That's ridiculous right there. I ain't drinking. What I'm going to tell you is, I was driving down to see a buddy of mine in Tulsa, Oklahoma, not long ago. And that's right. You know what Tulsa spelled backward is? A slut. You know what a slut backward is? $100. Get it? That's funny. All right. But I'm going to tell you, I was driving down there, and I had one of them Randy cars that had a voice-activated radio. Like, you want to hear country music, say, "Country, country, come on." You want to hear rock and roll? Rock and roll, come on. I wanted to hear country music, and I was about to say country, and some car cut me off, and I said, "You stupid moron." And Dr. Laura, come on the radio on there. And I couldn't... That ain't right. No laughing. Lord, I apologize for that there. Be with the pygmies, amen. But I was going down there to see my buddy down there, and I stopped at the Hooters when I was down. Have you seen the shorts on them girls at the Hooters? Good Lord. Tell you what, if they get any shorter, the FDA is going to start making them wear hair nets. I tell you that much, that's ridiculous. Good Lord. Need to go to church or something. That's funny. If you don't think that's funny, you get the hell out of here, because that's a funny joke right there. That's a funny joke. That's funny than watching midgets run track right there. I tell you, that's a funny joke. So I get down to see my buddy, and I was at his house, and he was fighting with his nephew. I guess his nephew got some trouble. He's in 10th grade, and he had sex with his teacher. And I was like, "Hey, that's pretty cool, you know." But the bad part is he's homeschooled. You know, so that ain't good. That ain't good at all. I know, that ain't good. That ain't right. Lord, I apologize for that there. Me with the pygmies in New Guinea, amen. But my buddy lives in a real bad neighborhood down there, and we was watching TV, and he said, "You want to watch Cops?" I said, "Yes." We went out and sat on the front porch, and, and it was a repeat. Figure that out, sir. We was down there a couple days, went to a strip club down there, and this girl got mad at me, and I tipped her with Monopoly money. And she goes, "That's fake money." I'm like, "Those are fake titties." But we can take a little bit, you know? That's ridiculous. I got kind of worried when I was down there, because the whole time I was down there, I was talking on the cell phone, one of them cellularized telephones. But I got kind of scared because I was reading in the paper the other day, because my neighbor got up late. It said if you talk a lot on them cell phones, it could put microwaves into your body. And I think that's true, because I was talking on it the whole weekend, went home and pooped a Hot Pocket. So, there's something to that. Is this the dumbest part of the show right here? It's got to be close to it. But I got upset when the cell phone people started sponsoring the NASCAR, because I'm a traditional. I like Winston. That's what I like right there. You know, it pissed off a lot of my relatives. My grandpa, when he found out it wasn't Winston, he was like, "You mean to tell me they ain't going to use Winston to drive my car out there?" I mean, it was something. Lord, I apologize for that there. And do the thing. Amen. No, but I told you last time we got together, I always thought Stay Free Mini Pads ought to do NASCAR sponsorship. I just thought the announcing would be pretty cool. It's a beautiful summer's eve here at the track. The KY Jelly Car has just accelerated and easily slipped into the number two hole. Get it up. Oh, Lord. The Vagisil car has been itching and burning rubber all season out there. And is number one in the Bush standings. All right. That's right. I like cars and driving fast and all that. When I get places, I usually drive. So I don't fly to airplanes. I'm scared of them. And whatever happened to good-looking flight attendants? Good Lord, I had the Oak Ridge boys with titties on this one airplane I was on. They were ugly, I tell you. And I looked right at that one girl. My wiener went in and out my butt crack. I mean, that's how ugly she was. That's a true story right there. I ain't making that up. I seen her. My wiener come out, went like that, turned around, shot right out my daggone hind end there. And that's documented right there. You know you're ugly when you're making fellas poop their own wiener. You know what I mean? That's glamour shots right there, son. I float on an airplane one time because I had to go see my grandma. She was having some trouble, and they thought she thought she was getting lip cancer from secondhand chew, and we had to go take care of that. I tried to make her feel better. Her air conditioner went out in her trailer, so she wanted some fans up, so I put 7 ceiling fans up in her single wide, and I think that was too many. She turned them all on Wednesday, and her roof took off, so that wasn't a good thing. But the one thing my grandma does do that irritates me is she gets the walking farts, you know. Every step she takes, something come out, you know. But it's horrible. But the worst part is she gets the walking farts at the flea market. And that's bad, because when she's at the flea market, she wears them spandex drawers. So now it can't escape nowhere, you know what I mean? And she let out a walking fart in them spandex drawers, looked like a mouse run down the inside of her pant leg right there like that. Good Lord. Yeah. And then it starts to form a big ball in the back of her britches. Because it can't escape. It looks like she stole a cabbage or something. And the fella running the cabbage stand in there thought she was stealing cabbages. So he goes, "You're stealing cabbages." He went to rip her britches down. I'm hauling ass about this time, you know. I know Hiroshima fitting the head up there at the flea market. When he ripped them down, good Lord, that sounded like a big rig letting out the brake pressure. He ripped them down. What the hell? Critters running around with no fur on them, and people melted to the walls, and Grandpa's pissed. He's like, "You want to get out of the flea market, boy, kill everybody here, that's ridiculous." I tell you what, I got a strange daggum family, that's for sure. My aunt, she's a big old woman, and she's good looking, though. She's 370 pounds, but she's good looking. She's a runway model out at the airport. And she is a hyperchondriac. She always thinks there's something wrong with her, cancer, tumor, whatever. But we were sitting on the couch having a nice time watching the TV, and she'd do this about every 5 seconds. She'd go, "It's irritating me." And I'm like, "What in the world are you doing?" She goes, "I think I got a tumor in my butt crack." You don't get tumors in your butt crack. You're a hypochondriac, for God's sake. She goes, "No, there's a little lump up in there somewhere." You say, "Look up in there, see if you see a little lump up in there." I'm not looking up in your butt crack for a tumor on a Sunday. Go to the doctor. She went to the doctor. You know what it was? A milk dud. You believe that? She sat on it watching Walker, Texas Rain. My famous male. I got my little brother was over at the house the other day. I ain't never told you about him. He was born deaf. His whole life he'd been deaf. But he's real good with the sign language. But he's got Tourette's too, so he's kind of like that, you know. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But my mama talks to him all the time with the sign language. And I try to learn how to do it, but I can't get a finger in edgewise, you know. It ain't too easy. But he's pretty talented. He's a songwriter, and he got a song out now you might want to hear. It's called... Lord, I apologize for that there. And be able to start and take me some new music. I got another sister, had a baby, and she was in labor for 38 hours, which is ridiculous. I give up on the poop after 20 minutes. She had it. But she's a good sister. She come to see my program 2 days after she had that kid, by God. And I made her laugh so hard, milk shot out of her nipples. I tell you what, she's a good girl. I love her to death. My brother just celebrated the second...
Get her done.
That's right. My God. Chris, I see you at the house. My brother just celebrated his second wedding anniversary, and they was going to celebrate. He wanted to have sex, and she wanted to go to Outback, and my grandma wanted to go to church, and have them rededicate the wedding vows, so they all compromised and they had sex out back at the church. So, now. I was gonna get married one time. It's hard finding the right person. I was living with a girl for about 8 months until she found out I was there. And it worked pretty good. But there was another girl that I was in love with, and we was going to get married, but she wasn't going to take my name. So I broke that relationship off because I'm a traditionalist. I think they ought to take the name. Plus, I thought it'd be cool both of us named Larry. You know, I thought that'd be nice. You know, but it didn't work out too good. She always irritated me. I don't know why women do this, and she did this all the time. She used to stack stuff in a medicine cabinet, and then you open it up, and stuff would fly out at you. You know, they had them cotton balls in there, serves it like a spring action device or something. Well, she was walking around the house one day. She's mad at me, yelling at me. I don't know if you had cramps or something. And I opened the door up to the medicine cabinet, and the daggone tampon flowed out, hit me an eyeball, landed in the toilet, and the minute it hit that water in the toilet, it went... I'm like, good Lord, that's where the cramps are coming from right there. Look at that. You see the size of that thing right there? You need to buy a smaller size. No wonder I can't satisfy you. Look at that thing in there. That thing's huge. Thing is huge in there. It's unbelievable. The size of that thing right there. But we was at the daggone store the other day, and they had these little shorty shorts, and I can't wear little shorty shorts. I ain't very good shape, you know what I mean? I used to be a lifeguard until some blue kid got me fired.
Get her, dude.
Well, I tell you where they some out of shape, folks. That's the church I go to. Good Lord, you ought to see these people. Old Lady Peacock is 326 pounds. She got up to sing in the choir at the church. She sang Love Lifted Me. A crane couldn't lift Old Lady Peacock. Love Lifted Me. My brother nudges me, goes, love ain't going to do it without a winch. I'll tell you that much right there. That ain't work. She's mad at my dad right now because she come over for visitation or something, and she walked in. She goes, I'm going to get my stomach stapled. He goes, to what? The country buffet down there? Good Lord. I tell you what church you stay in shape in. That's the Catholic church. Good. You been in there? You got to be in shape to go through that service. And I never been in there before, and I walk in with a buddy of mine. He's going down there, and I was following people in front of me, and I got bad knees. And I walk in there. The minute I get in there, they all kneel down, so I kneel down like this. Get down. The minute I get down, we back up again like this. And back down again, we go like this. I'm like, you son of... Here we go, right back up again. Good Lord, we was down, up, sit down. We did two shots. I mean, it was something, hey. It was a good one. It was ridiculous. But you do get in shape in there, and that's the good thing. I was at the Victoria's Secret the other day, and I was speaking on them little shorty short britches. They have them britches in there for fellas. They're a little too tight for me. You ever put them on? You put them on, it looks like your tonsils are hanging out of your daggone shorts.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
My girlfriend was like, go in there and try them little shorty shorts on. I'm like, that ain't happening. So I go in there and try them on. And, Lord, they split my boys in two places. They were so tight. I had a boy come out the left side and a boy come out the right side. I even had a boy I didn't know about come out them shorts. And then she's like, come on out, let's take a peek at you. I'm like, I'm staying right here. So I go walking out. People were looking at me like, what in the world? You look like your tonsils are coming out of your daggone shorts. I think the women got it real bad, though. Y'all's shorts is really tiny. I mean, you need to be groomed up in them places, you know what I mean? Bikini waxed or something, which is sexy. We fellas like that. You don't want your girlfriend coming at you naked, look like a ZZ Top concert, just got out or something. You don't want that. You don't want something like that. No, but women want fellas to do that, and that's what irritates me. My girlfriend wanted me to groom up the private areas, and that's stupid. Fellers ain't supposed to do that. You know what I mean? And she got that idea from them girl magazines y'all read. I don't know what it is. She was reading the Hog Hunter. She's reading a Hog Hunter magazine there. And she goes, "Why don't you shave your private there? It'll look sexy." I'm like, "I ain't doing none of that kind of garbage. I ain't one of them." And so I'm in there shaving my private area in there. That was real sexy. I come out of the bathroom with little red bumps and toilet paper squares all over the area down here. Good Lord. That was nice. I was standing there naked. I looked like a grub worm with a turtleneck on. That's what I looked like. Good Lord. If I was a girl, I'd never shave. I'll tell you that. But I'd be at the beach, look like I was smuggling Chewbacca in my undershorts. That's what I'd be. Get her done. Thanks a lot, y'all. This is my favorite part of the show right here. Let's bring the boys back up. Now, come on. Bill Engvall, Jeff Foxworthy, Ron White. There's a kibble guy.
Too bad we couldn't get a good crowd in Denver, huh?
Oh, it's too bad.
I got to tell you, this has been a very special night for us, and you guys have been awesome. And I think I can say for all of these guys, we feel very blessed to have been able to do this for 20 years and be friends, and especially to get to do this together. So,
amen on that. It's been the best job I've ever had.
Me too.
And I got to thinking about that. We've been blessed, but able to, with having great fans and be able to tell jokes and make a living, and thank God, because we ain't trained to do nothing else. And with that thought in mind, I was saving this for the last show. If you weren't doing this, what job do you think you'd be doing?
I hate it when my mother comes to the show. I hate it. I'll tell you a job I think I might be qualified to do. I was doing a show 4 or 5 months ago in Huntington, West Virginia, and as I was flying in, we had to divert because the plane in front of us skidded on the runway because he forgot to put his wheels down. I mean, it seems to me that ought to be on the checklist somewhere. But they diverted us to this airport in Ashland, Kentucky. It's the tiniest airport I've ever been to. And then the guy that was supposed to pick me up couldn't find the Ashland airport because if you get behind that bush, you can't see it. You can't see it. So I sat there for like 2 hours with the two guys that worked there part-time. And you think I'm making that up? I'm not. So, when they're not cutting grass, you know, they do the thing at the airport. So, and I asked them, I said, "What is the most exciting thing that's ever happened here?" And one of the guys said, "Well, last year a goose flew into the windshield of a Cessna." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Did it break it?" And he said, "No." He said, "Them windshields are tough." He said, "You know how they test them?" And I said, "No." He said, "They shoot chickens out of a cannon at them." And I was thinking, I remember career day in high school. I remember plumbers. I remember lawyers. I do not remember a booth where you could sign up to shoot chickens out of a cannon at the windshield of an airplane. Because there would have been a line at my school to do that.
So maybe that.
If this hadn't worked out, it's a scary thought. But I think I would be still doing what I was doing my last job. And I was a tour guide for an underground cave.
Did you have a uniform?
We had the jumpsuit with the little name tag on it, said Bill. And it was not a great job, but it's probably where my comedy started. Because you put people underground, they freak. And we used to have to walk backwards through the cave so we could keep an eye on the tour, and I got fired from that job. Because I used to like to go around the corner and come back screaming, bats, bats, bats! People don't appreciate that.
Plus, having to walk out with wet pants the whole way.
Yeah. What about you? What do you got?
I used to shoot chickens out of cannons at airplanes. Okay, I did have a job one time. I used to work at the flea market. And I like working up there, but I was always a nice fella. I used to sell stuff, but I didn't want to overcharge people. And I always sold myself short, so what I did. Like, people come up and they go, how much you want for that? And I'm like, $20. And they'd be like, give me five of them. I'm like, daggone. I could have got more for them. You know? And I still do that to this day. I can't figure out. Like, I was at the restaurant the other day, eating, and the waitress come by. And she says, you need anything else? And I was just kidding around, and I go, yeah, how about a neck rub? She started giving me a neck rub. And I was like... I could have had more.
All right. This one I want to hear.
I cannot imagine you having a real job.
You know what? The last job that I had... was at a pickle factory. I promise. And I got fired for putting my finger in the pickle slicer.
You got fired for putting your finger in a pickle slicer?
She got fired too. Both of us got fired. Lord, I apologize.
You better.
Your sister never worked in a pickle factory, did she?
I don't think so.
We did this tour for a little over 3 years and in hundreds of shows, and never once in those hundreds of shows did any of y'all ever see him bring a guitar on stage.
No, this is a new thing.
What?
Within the cave, I started tinkering around with a guitar. I started doing it in Las Vegas at the Mirage Hotel one time. I was opening up for this new act out there called Siegfried and the Righteous Brother. And well, I knew that we was working on that song that we wanted to do. You didn't know it, but I figured we'd play some.
We're going to do that?
Why not?
I've been practicing, too.
I mean, fine. Let's do it.
This is a song we writ called I Believe.
Yeah, whoa.
Writ? Writ.
I didn't writ any of it.
You wrote two-thirds of it. Or a quarter of it, whatever.
Yeah, don't try to do math.
If Larry's going to start doing fractions, you may want to go to the concession stand or the restroom. So,
all right, but this is a song. I told you to wait in the truck.
The name of this is...
All right, here we go.
All right, I believe.
The name of this is I Believe. Okay?
I Believe.
I Believe.
Now, this song is called I Believe.
Yeah, they got that.
I already said that.
Out of everything, this is what we believe. For the Spanish people, it's Yo Believo.
Yo Believo.
Oh, El Believo, whatever. Yo, El, whatever. But go like this. believe that Britney Spears should be one of Baskin Robbins' 31 flavors.
Two scoops.
I believe that anyone who wants to wear a thong should have to go through an application process.
I believe that ignorance of the law is no excuse, and I'm quoting a New York City judge on this one.
How old are you?
Old enough to learn how to play that.
Wait, well, when's your birthday?
February 17th.
Now, what year is your birthday?
Every year.
You ask.
I believe you show me a three-year-old running around a flea market in his underpants drinking Coca-Cola out of a baby bottle, and I'll show you a future NASCAR fan.
I believe that sometimes you gotta wreck the truck to get the insurance money to make the truck payment. I've done that.
I believe I'll have a scotch. Oh, wait, I've already got one. Go ahead. Never mind.
I believe that the way to a man's heart is not through his stomach. It's a little further south.
I believe the only thing worse than having diarrhea is trying to have it quietly in a public restroom.
I believe I have. That's right. When I get that, I always go into the crippled stool.
The crippled stool?
Yeah, because if you get that, you get a crippled stool, they always keep clean, so you know it ain't dirty. And you got a lot of room in there for stretching your legs out. And you got rails for power squeezing. That's another good deal. That's
right. Just thought this out.
I believe the crippled stool is the Cadillac of the pooping stool.
It's your turn.
I believe guns don't kill people. Husbands that come home early do.
I believe if you can't say something nice about somebody, you must be talking about Hillary Clinton.
Thank you.
believe the phrase time in a bottle refers to the amount of beer you can drink before last call.
I believe if you let somebody cut in front of you in traffic and they don't give you the little wave, it should be perfectly legal to get up underneath them, get them loose, and put them into the wall.
I believe if life gives you lemons, you should make lemonade and try to find someone whose life has given them vodka and have a party.
I believe that's all we got. Good night and God bless y'all. Thank you.
Disgusting bed in the United States. And this includes homeless people. This is horrible. Is this a landfill or what?
He cleaned it up yesterday.
He's cleaned up.
I believe no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats.
All right, that wasn't too bad.
That's pretty good. First time we ever sung that song in public. Thank you.